Well, let me invite you tonight over to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 28. The Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 28. Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 28 reads this way. It says, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Once again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, we ask for the blessing on your word, that you might be honored and glorified and highly exalted. And Lord, that you would empower our lives to honor and glorify you. Bless your word tonight and your church, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is "Lest They Should Be Defiled." Lest they should be defiled. And tonight, basically, what we're going to do is just look at the importance of not being defiled in God's eyes and not just our own. Because what we're looking at here is an account of the Pharisees who had the scriptures that it was given to them, it was entrusted to them. They had preached this for many generations, but when it got to them, they had distorted the truth and they were crucifying the Son of God, who was the one, the promised one, the Messiah, the Savior of Israel and the whole world, and yet they were condemning him to death. And the Bible also speaks about a time in our generation, or before the Lord's return, or as he's coming back, that there's going to be a falling away. Now, listen, the word of falling away there has an idea of being apostate. You know what we think? I think what we think sometimes is a falling away if they stop coming to church. Oh no, they might still be in church, but they have fallen away from the truth. They've all of a sudden moved over from the salvation of grace and through God working in their lives to them doing that which is right in their own eyes. Would it surprise you to find out that the apostates might have a profession of salvation, and yet they completely misunderstand what the Lord is? You know, there are people that say, "Oh yes, I believe in the salvation of the grace of God. It's all by grace. That means I can live any way I want to, right? That means I can live like the devil and still expect to go to heaven." Well, something's certainly off there. Is it possible? Is salvation by the grace of God? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Do you have the liberty to live as you please? I don't think that's what salvation talks about in the Word of God. In fact, David made some choices and decided to do things his own way that were contrary to the way of God when he took Bathsheba and had her husband killed, and yet it was after about a year that he probably couldn't stand it any longer, and was confronted with it, and he confessed his sin before the Lord and repented and turned back to the Lord. There ought to be a working of God in the heart of an individual who professes to know him as their personal Savior. There ought to be some kind of a commitment to him more than to ourselves. And so let's take a look tonight at a couple of thoughts here. First of all, the importance of God's doctrine, not ours, God's doctrine. And by the way, which doctrine has to do with the teaching of God and his disciples. And then secondly, we'll take a quick look at what the Lord's disciples must learn. And then thirdly, we'll look at the defilement of the wrong doctrine. So let's back up to verse 19 here. Let's take a look at the importance of God's doctrine and also the importance of God's disciples. So verse 19 says this: "The high priest then asked Jesus and his disciples of his doctrine." So they're saying, "Hey, we're asking you about your doctrine." Now you have to stop here and remember, this is the high priest. If he was studying the Word of God and growing in the Word of God, do you think he'd really have to question the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his disciples? When Simeon saw the Lord, when he was brought to him as a child, did Simeon know who he was? Did he say, "Okay, Lord, I'm ready to go home now. I have seen your Savior"? Did Anna know who he was? Why? Because they were into God. They were into the Word of God. And so when all these things came to pass, they recognized it for what it was. Likewise, in our lives, the more in tune we are to God and not just ourselves, we won't miss what God is doing and wanting to do. He's the trickster. Do you think he'd be up on tricks if he's the one that's playing tricks? It's hard to fool somebody who's in the middle of being deceptive themselves. If they're a deceiver, they're always on guard because they know themselves. They know how they think, right? Do you realize that God, did Jacob go in the plan of tricking his brother Esau out of the birthright? He did, didn't he? You know that was already God's plan? That the younger would be receiving the blessing? At birth, do you remember what happened? When Jacob and Esau were born, they were twins, right? One came out. What did Jacob, when he came out, what did Jacob do? He grabbed his brother's heel. That's signifying himself. He's gonna make it happen. He's gonna make it happen. So he's gonna make it happen. He's gonna go ahead and get his wife, and he gets Leah. And then he's still conniving with his, not that his father-in-law was a good man, but he was still trying to do things the way that he thought they ought to be done. And God let him go that way until he finally wrestled with the Lord and God touched him. And by the way, listen, what does it mean to wrestle? If you're wrestling somebody, you're trying to subdue them. You're trying to get them to give up. You're trying to get them to say, I surrender. You beat me. And he was wrestling with God. We think, oh, that's a good thing to do, to wrestle with God. No, he was trying to get him to come to the end of himself. And then finally, God just touched him. And then he was without power. And then finally, he told him, listen, now you're a prince with God. Why? Because you don't have any more physical power. You're not wrestling with me anymore. And so I'm giving you now an opportunity to realize how things work, and that is by my strength and not yours. But listen, he was getting ready to go back and see his brother, and he was still trying to figure out how to do this, and he gave him the gift of all of this livestock, and Esau said, nope, you keep it. You go ahead and keep it. And he said, no. I want you to have it because you are like I've seen the face of God. Did you get that? He was worried. His brother came out to meet him with 400 men. What would you think? Do you remember the last words his brother said about him? I don't think Jacob ever forgot those words. And so 400 men are coming out and he's thinking, oh boy, I'm going to be in for it now. But he had to trust the Lord. And what happened was, he said, now Esau was a rebellious man. He did not go for the things of God. But Jacob said, when I see your face, it's like I'm looking into the face of God, because he's being reminded that God was the one that brought him home in peace. It wasn't any of his conniving, any of his tricks. And so now he's Israel. Now remember what happened with Joseph. Do you think Jacob would have ever believed his sons? But Israel said, no doubt, an animal, a beast has devoured him, and my son is dead. Jacob would have never bought that. He would have said, first of all, you guys have got a track record. I know you guys are against him, and you guys are up to no good. But that was Jacob, not Israel. He finally surrendered his will to God's will. And see, you and I, we don't really realize, I think, how persistent our natural man is. We tell God the way we think things ought to go, instead of laying down our lives and saying, okay, Lord, you guide me in this. And so God, being the gentleman that he is, he just patiently waits for us. And he'll do some things in our lives to try to get our attention, that we might walk with him and follow him instead of us telling, okay, God, here's the plan, take care of it. That's what we think. Lord, here's the plan. This is how we're going to do it, Lord, today. And if not, then we're really in sad shape, because we're forgetting to ask the Lord every day, Lord, I don't even know how to come in and go out. I need you to help explain to me and show me the way you would have me to walk this day, how I can wait upon you, how I can be still and not be anxious and know that truly I'm in your hands. So as we consider this, let's take this into account. These priests are far removed from being servants of the Lord. I would dare say they're serving themselves because they're getting ready to crucify the Lord. So look what happens right here, again in verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Listen to what Jesus answers. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I never taught in the synagogue and in the temple whether the Jews always resort." He said, that's where I taught. And in secret have I said nothing. I'm not holding anything back. That was an open proclamation of the Word of God. He is the Word, is he not? And so he was proclaiming the promises of God in their very ears. He said, I've not preached anything in secret. Listen, you're asking me a question that needs really no answer, because if you've heard me, and they did, you know exactly what I'm about. Did he ever mince his words? Did he ever hide what he was trying? Was he a savior incognito or in secret? No, he was openly preaching the Word of God. And so he says, verse 21, "Why askest thou me?" In other words, this is why are you asking such a question? This is not something that was preached in private. "Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." You know what he's saying? Ask anybody. I've not preached anything in secret. "And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by him struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so?" This man, question, is this man that smote the Lord being led by the Spirit of God? No, he's being led by what? The spirit of man. Let me ask you this question. Do you think that officer thought he was doing the right thing? Yeah, he thought so. He was defending the high priest. But what was the high priest doing? Condemning the Son of God. And so he was on the wrong side. And may I tell you something? He had the opportunity. I wonder, listen, he had the opportunity to seek the truth as anybody else does. Were there people during the Lord's earthly ministry that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Absolutely. Do you remember Mary and Martha? Remember when the Lord went over to their house and Mary was at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, just taking it all in, listening to every, hanging on every word and taking it all in. And now they weren't wealthy people because Martha was doing the serving, right? She didn't have servants. And so you remember what the Lord said to, or what Martha said to the Lord. "Lord, don't you care? Tell her to get up and come on and help me." And the Lord says, "Martha, Martha." She was cumbered and busy about a lot of different things, but one thing that was needful, Mary was doing it and she wasn't. Do you think Martha thought she was right? Yeah, she condemned the Lord. She said, "Don't you care?" Question, did Jesus care about what Martha was doing? And did Jesus care about what Mary was doing? And when she brought it to the Lord, did you hear the love and the correction from the mouth and the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ? "Martha, Martha, you've got it wrong. You think you're right, but it's your sister that is right. And it's you, where your heart is and where your spirit is at, is all wrong." How easy is it for us to walk so sure in our own confidence and not the Lord's? How will we all stand before God? That's what really matters. Am I doing what God has asked me to do? Or am I saying, "But Lord, Lord, what about him?" And what did Jesus say? What is that to you? Follow me. Do you see how we get? We get to thinking about what we think everybody else ought to do, and we forget who's in control in the first place. And what's really important is that we are doing what God is calling us to do. We can find fault with what everybody, we think everybody else ought to be doing, but the fault lies at our own doorstep. And by the way, listen, God is wanting to bless his people. God is wanting to bless his church. But here's the question tonight. Where is the heart of the church? Is it for God? Undividedly? Or is it divided? And it will put other things before the Lord. And so that's what happened here to these priests and these religious people. And they could not even see how wrong they were. But wait a minute, I want you to stop and think about this. Martha didn't know it either, and she was following the Lord pretty faithfully and saw firsthand the working of the Lord in her life. Did she not? She did. So let's look very quickly here. Notice he says, Jesus, verse 23, answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil." If I've said something evil, can Jesus do that? No. "But if well, why smitest thou me?" Question. Question for him to consider. That was left with him. And now we move over to verse 24. "Now Annas had sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest." And notice what happens here. Now we consider what the Lord's disciples must learn. Look at verse 25. "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself and said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples? And he denied it, Peter, and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" He's not really asking that question. He knows. I mean, you cut my cousin's ear off. I know who you are. Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. We must learn as the Lord's disciples the weakness of our strength. The weakness of our strength. And that's what Peter was beginning to learn that night. And then lastly here, I want you to see the defilement of the wrong doctrine. "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." I don't know that I need to read any more. I'll let you look into that, the rest of that chapter, for yourself. But listen, here are the high priest, ready? "We can't go into the Gentiles' judgment hall. We are bringing this imposter." That's who they thought he was. But here, listen, we are going to participate. We're going to honor God, and we don't want to defile ourselves because we want to participate in the Lord's Passover. They were crucifying him. They thought they were doing such a grandiose job protecting themselves. That's what they were afraid of. This guy is getting too popular. This guy, well, he was supposed to in the eyes of God's people. He was supposed to, as John said, he must increase and I must decrease. But they crucified to themselves the Son of God, to their guilt. How did they do that? They had the wrong doctrine. But wait a minute. They held the truth. How did they do that? Because they worshiped God with their lips, but their hearts were very far from them. How will it happen again? How will it happen again? It's in the Bible. There's an apostasy coming. How will it happen again? Don't think necessarily that the churches are going to empty out. They're going to be people adhering to their own doctrines and neglecting their commitment and their responsibility to the truth in their own life. Am I doing, personally, in my life,
Am I walking with God? And am I hearing from Him? And am I dying to the flesh? And is the Spirit of Christ prevailing? Am I experiencing His joy? Can the world see the grace of God in my life? And if not, that's our opportunity to say, oh God, you're right, Lord. I am prone to wander and do that which is right, not wrong, in my own eyes. I will justify myself, won't we? That's our nature. After all, this, that, and the other. And you can tell a friend and they'll say, you're right. They will. But here's the question. Is it right before the Lord? Because that's what really will matter. Not what we think or what our friends think. Because these priests here, as we look at them tonight, they had the truth. They had an opportunity. The problem was they were too full of themselves. And they couldn't even see the Lord right in front of them. I wonder how many of God's people can't even see the Lord right in front of them, saying, this way, come and follow me. But we've got our hands filled with so many different things and ideas and thoughts and whatever we want to say, that we're not hearing the Lord when He says, trust me, follow me, and I'll show you the way. Tonight, God reminds us that He's still saying, I love you, and I want to show you the way and the life and the truth that's in Christ alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, for the understanding and the wisdom that it brings. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts, that we would not deceive ourselves, but that we would look to You and not lean to our own understanding. Bless the rest of the evening tonight as we break off for prayer, and we'll give You the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.